Levy, pastor of Judah Temple of Praise Ministries, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Oh, you know, I love you. Let me say hello, hello, hello to Nashville. A little soggy in the city. You know, a little rain must fall, and it must fall Sunday morning as you get ready to go to wherever you're going today, or if you're just home, you know, chilling. That's the best kind of rainstorms, when you don't have to go out in it and grab the umbrellas, because that's how it's looking for us. But that was to be expected, I'm thinking, because of, you know, the end of the hurricane that caused so much damage, etc., to our friends in the south of us. But we always do get the left the dump. You know, we get the end, the tail, the very end. Something is coming for us, no matter which direction it heads off into. We're looking at just umbrella weather throughout most of the week. So if you gave during last weekend's Radiothon and you got the umbrella, you gave it that level, you're going to be using it. For real, you're going to be using it.
Perfect opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. You doing okay?
I'm doing excellent. And yourself?
Well, you know, I like to think of myself as simply superb, and I am. I have had a quiet week. I was at the store a couple of days ago, and the lady was looking at my ID, and shut up.
I was going to say what she called
shut
you.
Shut up, yeah.
You feel good, huh?
Well, no, nowadays it's the law, so they're supposed to. But anyway, having said that, and that wasn't a confessional, she said, oh, happy birthday, belated birthday. And
that's right.
Yeah, she did. And I was, you know, thank you for being observant. And she asked me what I did, and I said absolutely nothing. And because she was grown, she understood it.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm with you. I don't have to have a party, hats and horns, every time it's, you know, birthday. I was just, you know, sometimes you just don't, you know, I'm okay with that. But I just was glad to have another year, you know. I mean, just happy with that, and so be it, so be it. Anyway, we had a beautiful weekend last weekend. This time last week, we were winding down our 12th 48-hour Radiothon, and good to see all the lovely people who were here over the weekend. Are simply wonderful volunteers. I just love everybody. They come every year, and they're like several people that were here knew this year. Well, like, how come you never told me about this before? I'm like, I don't know. You want to know something, you know, that's up here, turn the radio on. That's one sure way you'll find out, because we'll tell you. But everybody was really happy to see each other and, you know, support WFSK. And I'm glad that the station gets the love and support that it does from the community. I'm really delighted by that, since, you know, I've been here I see so many people and hear so many people tell stories about, you know, different portions in their life that they have listened or been over here or on here or whatever. And to think that this station has impacted as many people as it has, and all we raised was $12,500, is a mystery to me. Okay? I'm in the mystery column.
Truly.
I don't understand. The two things don't, you know, correlate. So, you know, somebody help me figure that out, I'd be happy. But anyway, we still continue to receive in donations from people throughout the entire month of October. And I get this question, I'm sure X, you probably heard it as well. Do y'all only take in money during that month? I'm like,
year-round.
No. That would be like saying you only want to get paid at Christmas time because you don't need to live any other time of the year. So, of course, you know, whenever people, they give whenever. We have people that drop through or see us and, you know, we just, you know, come over to pick up something or drop off and just say, hey, you know, I want to give you all this, you know, gift and for the station. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you. So anytime you feel so moved, you know, it just makes a difference. WFSK is a unique outlet, and we are, this station has to raise its own money to exist. And the facts are, university pays my salary, X's salary, and that's it. And everything else, the station has to pay. So, you know, our licensing, we have to pay 5 licensings to play all this music. And, you know, our programming and all the little nuances here. Everything. So everything we have over the last 13 years, and it'll officially be 13 next month, as a result of people giving. So if you all hadn't given over the years, we would be sitting here in that broken up stuff we were sitting in. You might not be able to hear us because, you know, we had to buy all new everythings and still continue to upgrade. But, you know, the community has been good. It could be better. A city this size, it could be better. Come on, Jesus. Work with me, Lord. And I just want the community to know how much we are indebted to you for keeping the station going. Had it not been for y'all, crickets, no noise here. I'm being real. I can sit up here and lie to you, but there's no sense in me burning in hell for that. I just as soon tell you the truth. So as you put your gifts in to support the station, we are using them to keep this place going. So every improvement that you see, you did it. Yeah, you did. every little thing you see, you did it. Yes, you did. So we just literally cannot thank you all enough. And, you know, I know you give to a lot of nonprofits and help a lot of nonprofits. And, you know, we help them. So when you help us, it gives us a chance to bless them. So it's like a twofold thing. We do a lot with other nonprofit organizations and give them, you know, we do a lot of stuff on air for them, a lot. And if I put a dollar to it, we'd have to stop if I put a crunch on it. But when you breathe life into us, we're able to breathe life into somebody else. So it's like a two-bounce thing. You bless us, and then we can bless somebody else. If you don't bless us, then we just have to sit here and go dark. I don't know. But God is good. And our sponsors are incredible, wonderful people. And they continue to support us. So we just literally want to thank all of them who sponsor programming and underwrite on the station. You know, we thank you so much. Come to tell you, without you, I'm not trying to testify yet. And we it's past this round table today, so I know there's some testimony coming. But I I just want to, you know, now that I've had a little bit of sleep, and, you know, as long as y'all know me, I've been on the air in Nashville for 32 years, so somebody somewhere has heard my voice once or twice. But I always like to shoot straight. I do not like to give you a bunch of gobbledygook, because that's not my world. Then you tell lies, and then you can't remember what you said. So I'm just like, I just shoot them straight across the room, boom. And some people like it, and some don't. Well, oh well. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're going to tell it like a T.I. is until... we can't tell it no more. Now, 70% chance for rain. We have a few raindrops falling out there now. It's not bad at all. 70% for today, showers and 70 tonight. So all day long, keep the umbrellas handy. Our chance for rain increases tomorrow as you head back to work. 80% on the way in the morning, and you know that's going to jack up the traffic, and by tomorrow night down to 40%, and we look at 30% for Tuesday chance for rain. So your work week starts off soggy, and temperature's not too bad, fall-like, finally. Man, did summer last forever or what? Didn't it seem like it lasted for 6 months?
Up until a week ago, right?
Yeah. 67 today, 64 tonight, 65 tomorrow, and 60 on Tuesday. So it is straight up football, chilly, and bundle up sweater jacket weather, because you're certainly going to need it. Now, Pastor's Roundtable today, huh? We got a full house coming?
We do. Expecting
well,
a full house.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I know that the audience will enjoy hearing from them this morning. Now, let me knock down a few of these headlines here as we get the guests as they arrive and we get them in the studio. It's just so hard to watch the aftermath of Hurricane Michael through Florida. It's just tear you up,
it really is,
Mexico beach. It's just flattened. I could not imagine why those people would have wanted to stay. Well, you see how close they were to the water?
I couldn't live that close.
Me either.
To any...
No.
Okay, what city?
No.
Yeah.
Or how you wanted to live your life vacationing. Not when your whole life rolls out to sea. That's nuts. But anyway, search and rescue personnel are continuing to comb through the ruins of a small Florida panhandle community destroyed by Hurricane Michael, which has left hundreds of thousands without power and without easy access to supplies. So far, one body has been found in Mexico Beach, but authorities say there is little doubt the death toll will rise. The tally of lives lost across the South stood at 15. Crews with dogs went door to door yesterday in Mexico Beach, pushing aside debris to get inside badly damaged structures in a second wave of searches following what they describe as an initial hasty search of the area. Authorities have set up distribution centers to dole out food and water to victims. They've also set up a triage tent to treat residents stepping on nails and cutting themselves on debris. You know, those people are there probably in flip-flops and, you know, tennis shoes and stuff. And I bet there's a lot of stepping on nails.
And which will lead to other...
Oh, yeah, tetanus shots and all that stuff.
If you can get medical attention.
Yeah, well, they got the little triage tents that they've been setting up. But, I mean, anybody that doesn't have any steel bottom shoes or steel-toed bottoms is prone to step on a nail, because that hurricane did not care.
Exactly.
What kind of structure... you were in, you know, it just moved houses way down the street. And did you see the couple of houses or buildings that were still standing? They were, you know, how the windows blew out and all that kind of stuff. But it was a couple of in the city. I mean, everything else was flattened.
Yep.
And it was just like a couple of apartment buildings or condo buildings that were still standing. I wonder what they were made out of. They were standing, but they had a lot of heavy damage. it'd be interesting to see how that community
tries to rebuild.
Well, and how what they're gonna, you know, what would the structures be made out of, you know, to if they decide they want to continue living there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't, you know, myself, I'd have to give up on that one. But, you know, we ask the Lord to bless and keep those people because they're really traumatized and, you know, the loss of life and limb and, you know, everything, all their worldly possessions washed out to sea or completely damaged. And, you know, Red Cross and organizations such as that certainly do need. They have been sending out clarion calls to, you know, for people to give or to do whatever necessary. So if you feel so moved, please do. You can text or get in touch with the Red Cross and try to get some help to those people down in the ravaged area of Florida, and I think portions of South Carolina and North Carolina could probably use your assistance as well. Now, here's what happened in Kentucky yesterday. Richmond, Kentucky. President Donald Trump has told Kentucky voters that support for Republican Congressman Andy Barr could make the difference between failure and more success by his administration, highlighting the stakes for one of the most watched races in the House. Trump rallied supporters last night in Richmond, Kentucky, one of a series of campaign events the president is hoping will help Republicans maintain control of the House as well as the Senate. Barr, Democratic opponent in Kentucky's 6th congressional district, is a retired Marine fighter pilot, Amy McGrath. Trump also praised Kentucky senior senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for his efforts to confirm Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh in spite of a bitter fight with Democrats over allegations of sexual misconduct by Kavanaugh. Trump declared McConnell to be Kentucky tough. Now, here's what's going on in our state. Out of, let's see, Lebanon, a former sheriff's deputy in Tennessee has been sentenced to 15 years in prison for sex-related crimes with a minor. The Tennessean reports 47-year-old Joseph Patton was sentenced Friday to a range of 8 to 18 years, with the length to be decided by a judge. Patton pleaded guilty in Wilson County to 3 counts of sexual battery by an authority figure and 3 counts of soliciting sexual exploitation of a minor in August. The victim was 14 when Patton began the relationship that involved inappropriate physical conduct without intercourse and exchanges of explicit photos and text messages, according to testimony. Patton was a 24-year veteran of the Wilson County Sheriff's Department. He was fired in 2016 when the charges surfaced. He had also worked as a school resource officer in 2013. And let's see, out of Nashville, Democrat Carl Dean and Republican Bill Lee avoided throwing bombs. Ooh, they avoided. They could have, though. But I don't see either one of them as bomb throwers. I don't know, for some reason. And they held back from taking swipes at each other during Tennessee's 3rd and final gubernatorial debate. Instead, the two top candidates on Friday once again outlined their positions while at Belmont University by remaining cordial and rarely mentioning their opponent while responding to issues such as Medicaid expansion, the death penalty, and education funding. Both of the candidates came out in favor of maintaining Tennessee's death penalty, agreeing they would follow the law if elected governor. Tennessee's capital punishment has been in the national spotlight since death row inmate Edmund Zagorski requested to use the electric chair for his execution. Tennessee is just one of 9 states to allow such execution methods. Electric chair, that reminds me of our history in this country with the electric chair. Now, people out of Memphis, they have some very serious concerns about the electronic voting machines, and they are saying that they are not secure. and are suing to get the voting system replaced with paper ballots after the November 6th election. Now, that's enough to scare you to death because you think you're voting and doing the right thing, and then you can't trust it. That's awful. The suit filed in Memphis federal court on Friday by Shelby County Advocates for Ballot Elections names Tennessee Secretary of State Trey Hargett, State Coordinator of Elections Mark Goins, Shelby County Election Administrator Linda Phillips, and other election officials as defendants. The advocates group alleges the touchscreen voting machine used by the Shelby County are insecure because they do not produce a voter verifiable paper trail. The suit says requiring voters to use the machines violates their right to have their votes recorded fairly. Defendants did not return calls when seeking comments. You remember years ago when we had the True Vote machine on the show?
Yep.
And the late Mr. Ethan Gibbs.
Right.
And that was one of the things that the True Vote fixed was that paper trail.
Yep.
That was 15 years ago.
And
well,
I don't understand why even now when you vote, you don't get a copy of your vote. It
well,
makes
they
no
went
sense
with the company that didn't offer it. That's
but
why.
That should be common sense.
Instead of the
you
company
cast
that
your
did.
Vote, give me my receipt.
Yeah.
That should be everywhere.
Well, you get a receipt.
Everywhere.
When you go to MAPCO.
Yeah, I mean why do we not have that? That's common
sense.
Well,
you know what? We didn't have it with the paper ballot either, okay?
Yeah.
We didn't get a receipt with that either.
But you know what? We haven't learned yet, have we?
No, obviously not.
Yeah.
And will we ever? That is the question.
Give me my receipt.
Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blue Time in the City, we got one of the young guns of Southern Soul.
He said, what is this? I said, it's Southern Soul.
That's J1. Even though he's in his 20s, his influence is old school. And Dorothy Moore's birthday is this weekend, the 13th. She has the stage for the Top of the Hour 5-Minute Blues Concert live in hour number 2. Join me, Rosine Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems, from tooth decay to oral cancer, are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com.
Did you know that earning your high school equivalency diploma can boost your income by $10,000 per year?
Did you know classes are available in your community?
Did you know high school equivalency classes are offered days, nights, weekends, and online?
And it's all free. Call Tennessee Adult Education at 1-800-531-1515 to begin high school equivalency classes today.
Brought to you in cooperation between the Tennessee Division of Adult Education and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
Support for WFSK comes from Kingdom Cafe and Grill. Plan to visit Kingdom Cafe and Grill, Jefferson Street's newest eatery, located at 2610 Jefferson Street in Outreach Ministry of Fairfield Missionary Baptist Church. Experience delicious Southern dining in an environment with Wi-Fi and other amenities. Kingdom Cafe is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and for breakfast brunch on Saturday at 8 a.m. For more information, call 615-678-7582 or online at kingdomcafeandgrill.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, T. Nashville. Sharon Kay is in it. Straight up. I certainly hope that you all are having a glorious Sunday morning. I got a couple of announcements here, church announcements I wanted to put in the atmosphere. Today is Pink Sunday, and that is the Worship in Pink, part of the Worship in Pink weekend, and it's the 12th annual Pink Sunday citywide worship service that will be held today at Fairfield Missionary Baptist Church, and you will find them at 1004 South Dickerson Road in Goodlettsville. And our friend Reverend Howard Jones is the senior pastor, so you can get over there and dip over there this morning and participate in the Pink Sunday 2018. And let me see, I believe the Sunday message, the program is from 4 to 6, is a messenger of hope. Sharon C. Patterson is going to be the speaker. She's a senior pastor of Hamilton Park United Methodist Church from Dallas. And she is also a breast cancer survivor, so her message will be quite moving. Now, let me look on here to my left, and let me, wait, I got to move this closer to you so I can hear you, Reverend. Uh-oh. I'm tearing up my stuff. Now, that was live. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing well this morning.
And tell me who you are, because I didn't get when he brought you in, I was talking. I didn't get the chance to get the intro.
That's all right. I am Pastor David Lattimore. I am the incoming pastor.
Oh, 15th Avenue. Oh, it's good church. To meet you.
Pleasure's all mine.
Because I got a church announcement for you right here. I was like, are we having 15th Avenue today? I think I need to read this.
Yes,
so how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, you're brand new.
Yes,
newly
I am.
Minted.
Yes, yeah, I am.
All right. Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, indeed.
How long you been there?
Probably a little bit over 60 days, I guess.
Oh, so, wow.
It's brand spanking new.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, we're just honored to have you here today.
I'd like to be here with you.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm relocating here from the Joliet area, Joliet, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
So right outside of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
We were there for about 9 years, and now we have traded in the cold for the sunshine.
Well, of course, today you can't tell that, you know.
You know, this is even not bad, even by Chicago standards.
Oh, so. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely Chicago. Yeah, oh, my gosh, yeah. Now, there was quite a search for the replacement of the late Pastor Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had such a profound effect on the church family and the community at large.
Absolutely.
Was that difficult for you to step into the role of somebody who was so well known to so many?
Well, certainly it is a blessing to be able to enter into a church where it's such a rich legacy by both the congregants and the leadership of that church. And Pastor Buchanan can't be replaced. But I am grateful to have this opportunity to come in and chart my own path forward. So there is no likelihood that I can replicate him,
mm-hmm.
but certainly believe that God has called both the church and myself to this moment, and we will do the work that God has.
What was the process?
Well, they went through what is really a pretty usual process. Mm-hmm. You know, they interviewed candidates across the U.S. and selected a subset of them to come in and to meet the congregation and to share with them their vision. And then the congregation, led of the good Lord, mm-hmm. Went through a voting process and winded up on this polo boy from the Chicago area and brought me down to the big time.
How long have you been a minister?
Well, I've been ministering since 1994, and
okay.
I've been pastoring over 15 years.
Okay.
And prior to that, I was in the investment management arena. So for 15 years, I was on the investment side of the house. So
okay.
I've run some organizations before and certainly been in church a while, and grateful for this opportunity to come down and participate in the work that you and others in this community are doing for the betterment.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you heard the clarion call.
Yes, indeed.
Because, you know, it's not often the radio station is going to have you come down and you don't have to spend any money. Y'all, can we get a witness somewhere out there?
Right.
I mean, come on.
No, that's right.
Because if they call on you, it's not about free.
That's right.
I got to call it like it is. Now, before I introduce my next two members of the Community of Faith, we have a long-time relationship with your church and, mm-hmm. of course, the CDC mm-hmm. that you have there, the Community Development Corporation. And I just happened to get a church announcement from them.
Okay.
And just prior to, they send me stuff all the time. But you mentioned your background in financial institutions, mm-hmm. and they're having a pre-purchase home buyer education class. Mm-hmm. Are you leading this class?
No, we've actually got some other professionals that are going to come in and to share their knowledge around preparing for home acquisition. We know that our community continues to benefit from efforts to ensure they have all of the information necessary to become homeowners. And it's still, in spite of the volatility of that market, it still is one of the best ways for a family to build up its own wealth.
Okay.
Through home acquisition. So we've got some great individuals that are going to be involved. And we encourage...
What's the date on it?
That's
you. The 20th.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want to test your mind.
Amen. You know, we got a lot of
I know. Now, do you know this lovely co-pastoring couple here that you're...
I've not had the privilege
okay.
of meeting them.
Well, we're blessed. Listen, Eddie. The Petrucci's are here. And, you know, when... because I had only been saying the husband's name, and I'm like, now you know his wife is coming, and she is on the ministerial staff with you, co-pastor, Pastor Angelo.
I am the senior pastor.
Oh, senior.
She's the prophet voice of Higher Place Church.
Okay.
Prophetic voice.
But at the house.
But we're not self-proclaimed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I must scoot up a little bit, baby. I am so delighted to have both of you. Have you met the new pastor? We can do it right.
Okay.
That's how we do it in Radio Land.
Amen.
Now, my house had been something different. So y'all go and sit over there, please. you know, at home is a different realm. You know, for it, when I'm in my own office, it's a different realm. We're going to take a time out sometime on the weekends when we have a variety of shows in. Sometime they'll be pushing buttons, and we got to make sure that everything is in place for grace. All right, Nashville, it is Pastor's Roundtable for the month of October. Let's take the time out, and we'll be right back.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems, from tooth decay to oral cancer, are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4, I'll begin with my community news segment. Then, veteran White House reporter April Ryan returns to discuss her latest book. And at 5 o'clock, the 411 Show's Leadership and Empowerment Series is back with pastor, author, and global humanitarian Rudy Rasmus. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Hey now, this is Cedric the Entertainer. You probably know one of the 29 million Americans living with diabetes. I do. My dad has type 2 diabetes. What I didn't know was that diabetes led to nerve damage and burning pain in his feet and hands that causes him great discomfort. A condition called painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy, or diabetic nerve pain. 1 out of 5 people with diabetes has this pain. And 1/3 of those with diabetic nerve pain who are 40 years or older are Black or Hispanic. I've heard from friends and family that didn't think this pain was connected to their diabetes. They may have feared what the pain meant, so they didn't tell anyone about it. Maybe they were trying to manage it alone. Step on up. If you have diabetes and burning, shooting pain in your feet or hands, don't suffer in silence. Have a real conversation with your doctor and take a step towards some pain relief. Visit steponup.com to learn more about your symptoms.
Support for Jazzy 88 comes from Daphne's Delectables, catering and special events. Serving Nashville since 1993, Daphne's Delectables is available for parties, corporate events, weddings, or private affairs. For more information about Daphne's Delectables, call 615-865-8675. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, T. Nashville. Sharon Kay is all up in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. Now we got our table set, and I am delighted to have in our studios today, we have three members of the Community of Faith with us today. Reverend David Lattimore, the newly minted pastor of 15th Avenue Baptist Church. And, Pastor, what time does it start, and what's the address? Because I know it's not 15th.
Right. We are located at 1203 North 9th Street here in Nashville, or 9th North. I'm still learning.
9th Avenue North.
Yeah, 9th Avenue North. Right down the street from the historic Fix University.
Amen. Around the corner from Rosa L. Parks Boulevard for all of our local people here in Nashville.
Amen. And we have service at 10 o'clock. And on that Sunday at the installation, we'll also have a 3:30 service for that service.
Okay. Yeah. So they would have time today to listen to you and get there on time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We'll be there at 10 a.m. Come on down.
Okay. And also in the studio is Reverend Angelo Petrucci and his wife Veronica. And they are, and she, her role is evangelist?
No, we're all evangelists. If you're a Christian, you're an evangelist.
Okay.
No, we, Veronica is the prophetic voice of our church because, I mean.
Do I refer to her as Reverend? Minister?
No, just Minister Veronica.
Minister, okay, cool. So I want to call it like it is.
You know what, you can just call me Angelo, and that's Veronica.
Well, I may do that as well, okay?
That works for me.
You see, you don't know me.
Titles don't mean nothing.
He does not know me yet, okay?
But you don't know me.
I'm checking you out right quick, because it don't seem like too much passes by you.
No.
Okay, I could tell that. So you're effective in your role as the head of Higher Place Church.
Amen.
Okay. How long have you been with the ministry?
We've been in ministry for 26 years.
Oh, wow. That's your life.
Correct.
Okay. Now, Minister Veronica, many people know you as a gospel recording artist, and you're just quite lovely this time of morning, you know, makeup and everything.
The devil doesn't think so.
Well, I think so, because I don't have on any. But we're delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you for having us. We're honored to be here.
Thank you. Yes. Now, are you all from Nashville, or where are you from?
No, I'm from New York City.
Okay.
My family's from Puerto Rico. I am a New Yorican. I was born in the Bronx.
Okay, cool.
I'm New Yorican, and Angela is from Boston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How'd you all hook up?
Yeah. We met in the city of Boston as singers. I was going to Berklee College of Music.
Oh, he sings as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
we are husband and wife, singing duo. Yes.
So that's how the hearts, two hearts collided, huh?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'll sing to you, baby. You know, that works for quite a few. That works for quite a few relationships, I know. Mm-hmm. Singing or playing or whatever it is, whatever it takes. 26 years.
Mm-hmm. 26.
Now, and you've been in the community of faith the entire time?
We got married in 92.
We got married and signed a recording contract in 1992.
And that's what brought us to Nashville, Tennessee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is Nashville kind of, it's weird how people get here. You know, it's like the Jonah story. You know, they're on their way to, thought they were on their way to, was it Tarshish or Nineveh? And then they got in the...
And wound up in the mouth of the whale.
You know? And then, you know, it's like...
Got fucked up.
Yeah. And got spit out somewhere else, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people have been spit out in Nashville. It's just weird. It really is. And a lot of people I have encountered over my years of being here, you know, have just like these weird stories of how they got here. You know, everybody's story is different. Now, knowing that that's the case, and I'll be asking your opinions on a host of issues, because I work at the granular level and with the community and the people in it, I deal and dwell in those issues.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm not floating around a pair of wings and the harp and everything. That's not my role. I like to keep it real. So our community grapples with issues from time to time, and some of them will not cease in terms of people not feeling peace in their homes, not feeling peace in the community. And let me start with you, Angelo. How do you see these times that we're in? You know, it's troubled times.
Boy.
It's times for us to stay strong or what?
You opened up a can of worms.
I know I did.
You know, my thing is that if we don't abide in God's word, then he can't abide in us.
Yeah.
And we'll never know the truth, and the truth will never set us free and make us free, because we're not in his word. So if we're not in his word, if we're in his word, if we abide in his word and he abides in us, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that most Christians don't open their Bibles. They depend on the pastor to read the Bible for them. And they say, you know, well, I submit to you. Well, submitting doesn't mean controlling.
Mm.
And Jesus, if you have a personal relationship with Christ, then you are responsible for your personal relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to spend time with the Lord in order to have peace or freedom. Mm-hmm. And if you don't spend time with God, you can't blame God.
Now, you're talking about people that don't spend time with their children or themselves. And now you come in here.
Well, they're spending they're spending their time with a bottle.
Oh, or that, or the internet.
And they're sexting and they're doing all these things.
Got time for that.
Well, the problem is that we're deep in sin. And nobody wants to address sin in church, because if we address sin in church, then I'm not coming to your church, because then you know what? You're judging me.
Right.
You're pointing fingers at me. We're in this hyper grace age where people are so using grace for their sin acceptance.
Yes.
In other words, brother, you can't. You know, I mean, I see recording artists. And now these YouTubes talking about their divorces like it's nothing.
Right, yes.
Oh, it doesn't mean anything. Now I'm on to my next wife,
right.
And I'm the happiest you're happiest you've ever been, because you've only been married a year.
Right.
Okay? How about 26? How are you doing after that, brother?
Yeah.
She don't look as good. She don't do it for me anymore, so I'm going to move on now,
right.
Because this little young girl over here, this little young thing here making me feel better.
Yes.
So now that's what I'm called to. See, we're not satisfied or content in what God has
ever
given us,
ever.
And we don't know how to make a commitment
right.
to God. That's it.
Well, and you know, it's the difficulty.
We divorce him.
They do, and then they fall back and say, "Oh Lord, I done messed up, Jesus." And then
they blame me because they say, "Oh, Angelo's angry." I'm not angry. I'm just telling you the truth, man. Well, I mean, am I now your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Well, let me say this, Angelo. A lot of people can't handle the truth. You know that, right?
Well, then don't be a Christian.
If the truth is going to set you free.
There's plenty of cults you can join.
As you can tell by looking across this country now, there's a whole lot of folks who aren't telling the truth and being honest and sitting up here in churches all over and pretending like mulligans, I think, was what some of it was called. I'm gonna give him a mulligan, and we're gonna go blind. We're gonna go blind on it, and we're not gonna see it. And these are this is the church.
Well, sister, you know, and it really what it stems from a lot of times in church, and Pastor, you'll understand this, is that the praise and worship has become the church.
Yeah.
The singers, the musicians have become the focus of the church, and they control what you preach. They control what the people want to hear because they have itching ears. Oh, give me what I want to hear. Tell me what I want to hear so that I, you know, so that I can come into the presence of God. Well, how about open your mouth and pray?
Right.
How about get into the presence of God by just asking him into the presence instead of singing him into some foolishness?
Well, Reverend Lattimore, what's your thought? Because that praise and worship segment is so important to people. And they say it gets them in the right frame of mind, etc. So what do you say to that?
So I would offer a couple of observations, the first of which specific to your question. So at least within our community, the musical element of our religion has always been an important part, mm-hmm. and that's not likely to lessen. And there's an appropriate place for that because we are dealing with people holistically. And so one of the ways in which we feed folk is the way they encounter God's presence through music. Mm-hmm. And so there have to be appropriate constraints on it, but music has an appropriate role in the life of the church. And secondly, I would just ask that we maybe exercise a little bit of nuance here.
Okay.
So against the dark hues that we've painted in terms of our societal and even our kind of church as an institution, there's certainly challenges and problems that we have to face. Mm-hmm. But I assure you that the Church of Christ is alive and well and doing important work, and that we have men and women across this city that are engaged in the kinds of activities that don't draw a lot of attention, mm-hmm. don't get a lot of accolades,
true.
But they're feeding the homeless, they're providing roofs over folks' heads, they're meeting families in need.
Well, if it wasn't for them, most of those people wouldn't get anything.
Right, so this is we just have to be careful that we don't group the entire lot of the Christian community in one bucket. There are certainly places that have to be fixed, and there's certainly models of Christianity that are deeply flawed.
But you know, our eyes are going to go straight to the worst possible thing.
Then,
our eyes are not going to look at the people who sit there and do the volunteer work and the fixing of the plates and all that. Nobody cares about them.
But man's eyes
aren't going to focus
and
on
my
them.
My responsibility as a pastor is to keep you from indulging in that human instinct to go to the worst possible scenarios and to remind you that God is alive and well and he's working through his creation in all kinds of ways. And my responsibility is to keep pulling your attention back to here's where God is present, here's how God is working, and to invite you to then join in the work of God in very tangible ways. Not necessarily all of the institutional church, because it is indeed, it has its challenges.
Sure.
But to remind you that there are lots of places where God continues to be active. These are, in spite of the difficulties, exciting times for the genuine church. Mm. Because where else can the light of Christ shine brightest except in the darkest places?
That's true.
So we have an opportunity before us to show the world.
Yeah.
Here's what the godly service is.
It's time to turn your light bulbs on, y'all.
Amen. Amen. And to join the other light bulbs that are already shining brighter.
Well, and I'm glad that you recognize that there are some, because there are some mighty good people in the grassroots that get not hardly any funding.
Right.
They have to work like a dog to fundraise. Can we get a witness? Yes, we can, because we fundraise. We're nonprofit. We get no government cheese, no nothing. I mean, we work to get everything we have. So we get it. We get it real well here. And I'm asking that, and because that's not what the experiences when you make that statement, and I wish that they would heed your message, would heed your call, and support those people that are out there and the vineyards that are helping the homeless. And I mean, if people would just lend them support or just give or do something instead of turning their back whenever there's a need. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's disheartening to see that the Lord has blessed us so much in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And we just walk around like we don't care. Everything goes in the garbage and trash can. We throw people away. That's very disheartening. And when we see it flash before our eyes on television shows, as you just mentioned, not just recording artists, but I'm talking about the pastor shows. Some of those are pretty, you know, down and dirty.
I would like to piggyback on pastor there.
Okay.
You know, Jesus said, you know, this is what, again, we're going to go to the Word of God. And Jesus said,
mm-hmm.
he says, beware. Now, this is Jesus talking. Beware
mm-hmm.
of the wolves. Not wolves in sheep clothing.
Oh, definitely.
In other words, we as Christians, we go to churches that are just, they're ravenous wolves that come
yeah.
and just consume your life.
Mm.
And we don't, so again, we don't read the Word of God. So if we don't read the Word of God, we can't blame God for us falling into these churches. And they're, not that every church is evil. Not every church is bad, okay? But you have to, you'll know them by their fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you should be able to go to a church where you can confront the pastor and ask him questions and say, you know, do you believe this? Do you believe that? You know, why would you just, if I went down the hospital and they said you had a brain tumor, would I take one man's opinion on it? No, I would go and I would have multiple opinions. I would ask, hey, I need to go find out if this is even true that I have a brain tumor. I got to go to different places.
Right.
Okay, but with our spiritual beings, we don't even pay attention to it.
Mm.
We just go right into praise and worship, which is not even in the Bible. Okay? And it's because it's a created genre by man, by a music industry. We were in it. Right from the conception.
Well, I was getting ready to say, isn't that kind of...
That's not even in the Bible.
I mean, you that's what you do, but you're saying don't do it. I mean, how are we going to follow that message?
What are you saying?
I mean, don't you and your wife do a...
No, we don't do praise and worship.
Okay.
We absolutely do not.
And you may want to explain to the listeners why you say that praise and worship isn't in Scripture, given all of the
spiritual songs and hymns, okay?
But he uses specifically the language of praise and worship. In Scripture. So you may, just for those who are listening, you may want to give them a little bit more as to why you feel that way, so that they can also understand it.
Well, because you have to understand, we are being moved and led by...
He's talking about the genre.
The genre.
The genre of praise and worship that has been created by the music industry.
Oh, well, that's the sell songs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's
exactly.
Real. That's the sell songs. That's real. But you're talking about the two things as praise.
No, there is praise in the Bible.
Spiritual music is in the Bible. Psalms,
yeah.
Hymns, and spiritual songs. Songs of thanksgiving. Songs of deliverance.
Yeah. Well, that's just a label.
Yeah. Yes.
That is put on something that we ceremoniously do. That has now become a tradition. Because I know a lot of denominations. You know, that's the first 30 minutes.
There's your problem.
You know, I mean, you if you miss that, they can't usher in the spirit. I mean, isn't that what they say? Come on, I've been to y'all's churches now,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you get yourself ushered in. And but it has become a symbol for something different, according to how you're describing it.
Well, I like to talk a little bit about corporate church, if we
yeah. Oh, certainly.
It sounds like what he's saying is it's become commercialized to the point where
it's money, money.
The people. It's in some churches, the praise and worship aspect is
more important
is
than the
commercialized.
Word. Yeah, it's more important
for the entertainment of the people.
Yeah,
more right. So than the spiritual.
It's an industry.
So yeah,
just like everything else, you know, because used to be Negro spirituals, now it's gospel music. I mean, right. You know, things evolve, but I mean,
and what is gospel music?
Well, it's the good news. I'm hoping
really?
It's the good news. That's what I'm hoping is.
Well, the people that are delivering the good news, are they Christian?
I don't know. Probably not.
well, certainly we do have a number of gospel artists who are
as best we can tell, and it's hard for us to determine who's saved and who not. We leave that predominantly in the hands of God. We can judge by their fruit, certainly.
Yeah.
We have a number of men and women who are authentic Christians and who sing what we refer to as gospel. And what gospel really is the marriage of the songs and hymns of the church with the musicality of the blues and some of the jazz riffs. We had, particularly in the black church, we had this place where, and our great and late Aretha Franklin is a great example of this, where individuals began to sing the hymns of the church, and she sang it and incorporated some of the blues and some of the jazz that we heard. And you have this emerging genre that came to be labeled as gospel. And certainly there is great good and great danger in how those songs get used. So I think that where we have great agreement at is we have to constantly be judging by the spirit,
right,
what the intent and the impact of it is. But even though the music industry has had a profound effect on churches, and that ought to be clearly examined, we also know there's been great good that's been done by the gospel songs that have been sung.
Well, let me
Do we know these people personally?
Well, I can't attest to that.
I don't know that I have to know you personally to be able to judge the impact of what you've done on my life. So we know that we serve a God that uses imperfect people. God has used, I mean, if he can use a donkey to declare the good news, then we know that God can use anyone
or a bird or a rock or anything.
All people exist.
Well, and let me just throw this in as we go to the top of the hour. I can remember some years back when they people didn't want to have hymns in the church anymore. They just wanted to go strictly to the party music, the jammer, the jamathons of y'all know I'm talking. I'm not making it up. They didn't want to do hymns anymore because it was old timey. Okay, I remember those days. I also remember the other days when Oh Happy Day was too much for the church. So, I mean, we got a lot of swings and ebbs and flows because I sang in the choir when I was a kid. And they was like, oh, Lord, they clapping their hands. Oh, Jesus. Sure. So I'm just saying.
Oh, sure.
And there have been these periods, these ebbs and flows and evolutions that have happened.
Do we turn the other cheek and just say, okay, we're going to ignore what's going on in our world?
No.
That's why we have the problems.
What we try to do is grow in ourselves. I mean, that's what I try to do.
And remember, the biblical record is God is constantly using people who are imperfect.
That's true.
So Paul was called when he was persecuting the church.
That's
Paul was called when he was persecuting the church. The 12 disciples are called as they are. They're called in all their imperfections, and it is because they came in contact with Jesus that their life was changed.
Okay,
so God doesn't fool the perfect.
Because we are going to get some coffee and recalculate.
Yep.
We're coming back. Because, I mean, that discussion really, honestly, needs to be had. Because
absolutely.
If it's,
it needs to be clarified.
Yeah, and if we don't have it, then we will leave confusion. And we don't want that today. We want to make sure everybody's thought is clear on that.
Because I believe it's clear. See, God does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. Okay, he does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. So if you don't hear the prayers of the unrighteous, he doesn't hear the worship of the unrighteous.
Well, and that means that there's hardly going to be anybody
many are called and few are chosen.
Very few. Like it's only going to be maybe two that make it. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kane.